Good morning, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Once again, a new set of ears and eyes back to school for a number of school districts, and we welcome you if you have changed your schedule after your summer vacation. Lot going on as we get ready for the Labor Day weekend. Looks like Mother Nature's going to cooperate. There's definitely a lot happening, and one of the hot spots of the city has always been the South Side, and joining us, Pittsburgh City Councilman, we've got Bob Charlin with us from District 3, which includes 12 neighborhoods, and one of those is the South Side. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm good. Unfortunately, you probably don't hear as much about the other 11 neighborhoods, but we've heard a lot about the South Sides, and I know you and others have been working on a game plan to keep it bustling, but keep it crowd controlled. So where do we stand today? What's the game plan?
Yeah, Larry, thanks for bringing that up. It is important to recognize that I've got, all the other neighborhoods as well. They're all busy, but Southside is really the heart of my district here. That's why this year it was so important for us to bring in a business district manager, someone whose actual job it is to work with the street. We've got a lot to be proud of so far this year, especially in, short time. We've got 24 new businesses that have signed leases on East Carson Street. Just last week, we had kind of the first yard sale that we've done in a while. Brought a first farmer's market. 65 yard sale locations were throughout the South Side, so the South Side was bustling. Pretty cool to see the neighborhood kind of come together again. 45 businesses participated in that yard sale with like food and drink specials. We're cutting ribbons kind of at a rapid pace in Southside. We had, Club Cafe opened up earlier, maybe 2 weeks ago. It's great to see them back and rolling. It's now a women-run business that we're really proud of and think will bring a lot of new clientele to the street. It's a lot going on. It's always kind of a dynamic neighborhood to represent, but the future is pretty bright for us here on East Carson Street and throughout the 15203 zip code.
Bob, how do you evaluate the law enforcement response to the difficulties faced some weeks ago on the South Side, especially in the entertainment district?
Sure. And the thing that I have to say is that we have I want to apologize for the rest of the city. We have the best police force on Southside in the Southside Entertainment Patrol in Zone 3, from the leadership of the commander to the sergeant, Robinson, who's in charge of that unit. I've been out with them, not every night, but a good bit of the summer here, at bar closing, and every weekend has presented different challenges in terms of, this is a promotion that one of the establishments is doing, or the start of high school football. And we have a unit there that is dynamic, that responds, to the community and the needs of the community and the changes that happen week to week. I couldn't be more proud of having those officers, and again, want to give my apologies to the rest of the city, because we do have the best unit, at least in the city. If I would go as far as in the nation there. The challenges have been, especially in the beginning of the year or the beginning of the summer when the weather started to warm, were really at the 1:30 to 2:30 range when bars close. We continue to look for better ways to manage that and better ways to manage the bar closing. But the other issue that we're really facing right now, the biggest issue on East Carson Street is fake IDs. We have had a major issue with underage kids, especially as colleges have started to come back, These fake IDs are not the fake IDs of days of yore here. They're pretty sophisticated. So we've been working with the bars on how we can better inspect for these IDs and make sure that everyone who's there is appropriate to be there. The state has helped out pretty dramatically with LCE enforcement coming in, looking for those IDs, as well as providing some state officers on the street as well, and having them really integrate with our First in the Nation unit there.
We're with Bob Charlin, District 3, Pittsburgh City Councilman. That said, big weekend ahead. The weather will be nice. There'll be teeming with people outside, so we'll see how it goes. Any road closures have been added to the game plan for the South Side late nights on the weekends?
Nothing at this point. You know, we're talking on Wednesday. I haven't spoken to the public safety director about any road closure plans, but I don't believe there's any intent to close anything down this weekend. So, you know, and the other thing I want to mention is the bars and restaurants. They're big participants in this, and I don't want to make them out to be the villains or the boogeyman here. We want them to be successful. We want them to thrive. We just want them to make sure that they're doing everything safely, you know, for everyone in the neighborhood and for customers coming in.
Before you go, Bob, what about the red light automated system the city's pursuing? You for that? Against it?
Yeah, no, I'm for it. I don't believe that it will be coming to my district to start, but I do think, you know, as we see more and more preventable auto crashes, in the city, and we've committed to Vision Zero, making sure that no one dies on our streets. Our streets are public utilities. I am for it. And, you know, I'm also on council, and one of the things we do is we approve money that comes in, and there is red light enforcement money from the state that we've been receiving for years now that helps us with making the streets safer for everyone, for, you know, cars, vehicles, pedestrians, bicycles, everyone all throughout the mix there. So, yeah, that was an easy thing to support, and I'm glad we're going to be finally implementing it here.
And one last quick question for you. When will the cameras start going up?
You know, that's a better question for the administration or for the Department of Mobility. I don't have an answer for you there, because, as I said, I don't believe any of them are going to be in my district as our initial pilot here. But I know that Councilperson Strasburger has worked really hard to make this a reality, and excited to see it happen here soon.
Bob, appreciate the time. Thank you, and hopefully have a safe holiday weekend ahead.
You as well, Larry. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Appreciate you. Bob Charlin, Pittsburgh City Council, District 3, including the South Side. Myra Rush in studio. Good morning, T. What's trending?
Good morning. Of course, you know what's trending.
Well, yeah. Well,
Travis Kelce.
Oh, my gosh. The reaction of people,
my goodness,
friends
gracious.
Of mine, just, you know, being tongue-in-cheek, like, thank God, you know, just.
It's happened. It's okay. Oh, yeah. We know now they're engaged.
$1 million diamond, they estimate. Nine carats, they think.
Is that all he could afford? Anyway, despite previously branding Taylor Swift as woke and declaring her no longer hot, after her political endorsement, President Trump has pivoted. He had some kind words to say about.
This was a major breakthrough. I thought he was going to.
I thought he was going to.
Here's what Donald.
During his cabinet meeting yesterday, he reacted.
Yeah, he was asked by the press what he felt about Travis and Taylor.
Absolutely.
Here's what he said.
Well, I wish him a lot of love. I think it's. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great guy. And I think that she's a terrific person. So I wish them a lot of love.
There.
Oh, our president had a change of heart.
No, you know why? He wants an invite to the wedding.
Oh, it might take, it could take place or, at the White House.
Or
he's, I mean, there's, he's spending how much money? Millions of dollars on this new.
It won't be ready in time unless Taylor and Travis, like a lot of young couples now, they wait, they announce their engagement and wait years to actually do it.
That could be true.
So they could be done then.
But she's a little different. She's different. Yeah. You know, she comes out with it fast, we don't know.
The dress she wore, Ralph Lauren, black and white striped dress that she wore in the pics that were released, sold out instantaneously. You can't get one.
Unbelievable. Marketing.
Neither can I.
At its finest. So that's great. And we also, let's go back to Cracker Barrel.
They gave up.
Yeah, they gave up. And this is why. People talk about all the time, oh, protests don't work and boycotts don't work. This is a prime example as to how and why it works. Whether you like it or not, it worked.
Your stock dropping $150 million didn't help.
Well, Target.
Or it did help.
Target's another example, right? Yeah. When seeing Target, the whole boycott Target products and the CEO stepped down and so it goes. I mean, hey, it happens, Larry. It happens. So people out there who think, you know, you could pull back on that dollar and you could talk about it. I mean, social media will destroy a business. It has some positives and it has some negatives. But in this aspect, the people won.
It certainly can.
It can. And the Hill District Grocery Store.
Yeah, so how does this work? How does a church buy a grocery store?
Well, they have a plan to do this. The pastor had broke this to the congregation on August 17th. He stated, we are entering into a multi-million-dollar negotiations to acquire that store. He shared that they want to place a new grocer in this space and will fill another 6,000 square feet there with other retailers and community services. He believes the land is for us. That's Pastor Edmonds, Brian Edmonds of Macedonia Church. He is very well connected. He's very involved in the community. I mean, he runs that Hill District. I mean, he's involved. People love him. So they haven't. I talked to Councilman LaValle yesterday and talk about, you know, people were going on and on about the theft and, you know, I hope it stays afloat and we'd like to see this happen. I don't care what area you live in. I don't care what the circumstances are. Every community deserves to have a grocery store.
That's what's trending with T.
Take care.
Thank you, T. $1 million diamond.
I got that.
You got that. Morning show, Larry Richard, midweek and ready for the Labor Day weekend ahead. A lot of schools back in action, so welcome back. And a lot going on. And we are joined by Senator Jay Costa, who is the minority leader in our great Commonwealth, 43rd District, whose office is in Bloomfield. Senator, welcome back.
Good morning, Larry. Great to be with you again.
First question is going to be on a lot of Pennsylvanians' minds. Where are we with the budget?
Larry, I can tell you, I think we're inching forward. Maybe not at the pace that folks would like us to be, obviously, but I think we're relatively close to locking down what's been referred to as the spend number, how much of our budget we're going to spend, and more importantly, how we're going to allocate and appropriate those dollars. And that's some of the challenge that we're facing right now. And there's disagreements about how much should be spent in different categories, and we're working through all that. But I think we're close to getting something done both on that issue, but also the major issue that we're talking about relates to transit funding as well. And I think both of those items are coming closer to an agreement. I can't say tomorrow or the next day, but I think within a short period of time.
First blush, without additional funding, drastic cuts for public transit are anticipated. We've seen some of those start in Philadelphia. Where do we stand in Pittsburgh, and what kind of money are they looking for to avoid what some people have cataloged as catastrophic?
Yeah. So the proposal we've been working around, it would provide about $293 million statewide, not only to the SEPTA system, which is a five-county system, not just Philadelphia, but five counties are part of that system, and then PRT as well. We would generate here in Western PA for PRT about $40 million of that $293, and we're focusing on starting there. We know that's not everything that's needed, but I think that's where we can find that right balance to be able to get support to get something done. We'll match that with a similar amount of road and bridge money in this process, so that the roads and bridges in more rural parts of Pennsylvania who don't necessarily rely as much on transit, they'll have the ability to support something along those lines. And at PRT, our changes won't go into effect until probably February. That would be like a 25% fare increase to, I think, $3 a trip. And also we'll be talking about 40% route reductions. And SEPTA system, as I mentioned, the five-county system, they've already implemented, I think on Monday, a 20% route reduction. So they've cut out a bunch of routes and a bunch of train routes in those five counties. But also beginning, I think, September 1st, Monday, they will also have a 21% fare increase. And again, if we do our fare increase in PRT, we're going to be one of the highest in the country, and Philadelphia is not far behind. So, and these are pretty major reductions, and it's going to impact the ability of people to get to work. And the SEPTA system, in particular, this Philadelphia school district relies upon mass transit to get their kids to school, and it's created chaos in that space. But also, employers and the Chamber of Commerce's folks in those areas in the SEPTA system are realizing that their folks aren't able to get to and from work timely, and it's creating major issues there as well. But, you know, we got to bring a resolution to this thing, and I think we're working towards that end.
Will we, if we get the proper funding, will still cuts will have to be made, but won't be as dramatic. Is that correct? Or will they be able to save the system?
Well, I think they'll be able to save the system as we know it, but I can't guarantee you that there won't be some reductions in routes or services going forward. Because, again, $40 million that we will likely get through this process is about only half of what we'll need as we go out 10 years. So they'll have to manage and mitigate against some of those losses as we go forward. But at the end of the day, it'll calm things down for a while without major route reductions, but a more timely and thoughtful process to allow them to be able to manage their expenses going forward. And we know this is not a 10-year fix. This is likely to be a three- or four-year fix for now for both all across the Commonwealth. And we know that we have to do more work as we look out. The issue is that we need to find a dedicated funding stream to support this. Governors propose, and we support, utilizing an increased portion of the sales tax. Not increasing, but just an increased portion. We can't get Republicans to want to do that. And that's really been the hang-up. Even though it's passed five times from the House, that version, Senate Republicans won't consider it. They're now looking at utilizing revenue from some gaming funds, but also looking at utilizing the Public Transit Trust Fund, which is basically escrowed money for projects and purchases of buses and trains and tracks, et cetera, and utilizing a portion of that for 2 years, but the commitment to repay it, which I think is essential. And then usually only for transit, not for roads and bridges as they proposed. But then having in year three and four and beyond, having some dedicated funding stream to support ongoing transit funding as we go forward. And that's really the challenge.
Senator, before you go, a little sidebar question. The skill games that have popped up all over the state, it's kind of a loophole in the gaming law. Some have suggested there could be monies there, or at least be some type of regulations. Right now, it seems to be, I see these places popping up, and I'm like, where did they come from?
Well, Larry, you're exactly right. They're existing based upon a loophole, despite the fact that in 2017, we very specifically wrote language they would not be permitted, but they went ahead and did it anyhow, and they've got a loophole you described. We fully intend to have them part of the conversation to regulate and tax them. We need to treat them, in my view, on parity with what we do with slot machines that are located in casinos and also the VGTs that are in the truck stops around the state. They all need to be taxed at a similar rate and also regulated, also connected to the Gaming Control Board and all those other features that we already have in place. That's what we're working on. That is very likely to be a revenue source of an ongoing, you know, recurring, consistent revenue base for transit and transportation going forward. But it's going to take a couple of years to get that up and running. So we're working to bridge the gap for the first couple of years and have that maybe be one of the dedicated funding streams going forward.
Appreciate your willingness, as always, Senator, to talk. Thank you. And enjoy the Labor Day weekend.
Thanks, Larry. You as well.
Senator Jay Costa.
Dangerous intersections. And there will be tickets for drivers who run red lights.
Oh, yes, there will. And this is in force in a number of big cities, including our nation's capital. And you may get one, and it may take a couple of weeks, and you may not even remember you did it, but it's going to be hard to fight it.
And for the first while, they're going to just give people warnings, but then the tickets are $100 a throw. That's an expensive hobby. After strong pushback, Cracker Barrel ditching its new logo, saying in a statement,
"We said we would listen, and we have. Our new logo is going away, and our old timer will remain."
Yeah, this is a case of they've heard the people. A lot of people.
Uncle Herschel is going nowhere, right?
Right.
And the Bucks have won 5 of the past 6 games.
The Pirates build a huge lead for Mitch Keller, and he would keep it in a quality start and earning the victory. Did Keller and the Pirates in an 8-3 win on Tuesday night at Busch Stadium.
Pirates broadcaster Joe Block. Yeah, the Bucks are quietly making some progress. And one thing they have proven, their pitching, their starting pitching in particular, is stellar.
And when they get 2 doubles from Brian Reynolds and a homer from Henry Davis, see what I mean? There you go.
It works.
Add the bats and you got to win.
And a footnote, the NFL, including the Steelers, got to their 53-man rosters. Any big surprises for you, Paul?
No, there weren't for me. I guess Beanie Bishop, I've kind of been a fan of his, pulling for him. But I understand that they've got a lot of competition in the secondary. And the other one was probably a little bit the punting situation with Corliss taking over. But what the heck?
And they kept 4 quarterbacks, at least for now, on the roster.
I think that was the right thing to do, don't you?
Yeah, I do. All right, here we go.